Praise God. Isn't it great to be in church? As we were singing that song, oh, what was that song? The third one, Oh Beautiful Name. Do you want to sit with your wife?
Is she in the room? She's usually upstairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just thinking, wouldn't that be a privilege?
It would be a blessing, but she's upstairs. I can go and ask her.
What a privilege to be singing together. I just wanted to testify before I got started. What a privilege to be singing together, standing together, and rejoicing together. I was thinking, don't take it for granted what we have. We were singing, what a beautiful name, Jesus, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, we have everything we need. Everything. And I was just sitting here, I just wanted to remind you of that before I start preaching. Just savor the moments. What a privilege to be sitting here together with family, with friends, and singing about Jesus. And I just thought, wow, this is tremendous. To have the Scripture opened up. To have the Word of God. I'm going to ask Bruce to come up, and we're going to read some Scripture. Open up your Bible today. Luke 24. Luke 24, we're going to read responsively. And what a privilege it is to read Scripture together in church together. Let's stand. Luke 24, and we're going to read a story that's in the Bible. Maybe it's been preached on before, but we're going to hear it again. We're going to read 13. Bruce will read the odd numbers all the way through 35. So let's read Scripture together responsively. Bruce, go ahead.
And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs.
And they talked together of all these things which had happened.
And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And he said to them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad?
And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days?
And he said to them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people.
And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him.
But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done.
Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, saying, Behold, these men which were early at the sepulchre.
And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them.
And it came to pass, as he sat and ate with them, he took bread and blessed it,
and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them.
Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon.
And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread.
Bless the reading of his word. Derek, would you have a prayer as we continue?
Thank you, Lord, for this day, for Jerry. Encourage him and anoint him, anoint us. Help us to be tuned in here this morning to this message, the rest of the service. And just may every heart be strengthened this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope God dealt with you as you were reading this. It's a wonderful passage. It's great to read the Word of God together in the congregation of the saints. It helps us. Let's set the context here. This is Sunday. We had Easter last week, and two weeks ago, and we had a great time. We celebrated the resurrection. They were not there yet. This was like Monday to them. The Passover was gone. It was over. The Passover was a very significant festival for the Jewish people. Pentecost was way out there somewhere. The weekend was over. It's time to get back to work. It was Monday morning to them. See, we kind of got to kind of put things in context sometimes. It was a bad Passover this time. The one hero that they had looked up to, the prophet, was dead. And now there were these stories going around. The body's missing. You know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy weekends, and I enjoy having a great time on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and great times on Saturday. And sometimes that Monday morning thing is a little hard to jump back into, isn't it? Maybe I'm the only one, but, you know, Mondays sometimes can just be kind of brutal. You know, back to work. We already know by Scripture, we already have read this, that these guys were looking kind of sad. We don't know what they were doing or why they were doing it. We know they were walking west away from Jerusalem. Now, I'll just put it out there. When things are confusing, when things are in turmoil, when the disappointments have piled up, when the weekend's over and Monday's here, sometimes it just kind of want to get busy doing something else, don't you? These guys were sad. They were dejected. They were dreary. Almost hopeless. When our hopes kind of go down the drain, when everything we thought was really going to satisfy us, when things seemed to not go the way we wanted when we had hoped they would. Over that vacation, that weekend, that family get together, that church service that you thought was going to help you, and it's Monday morning, and you don't know where Jesus is. He's missing. Most of us, I would think, maybe not, but many of us, in a time of confusion, in a time of trouble, in a time of just not understanding, we get busy. Okay, let's just go back to work. I mean, it was Peter also that said, let's just go fishing. Let's just go back to work. Let's just face reality. We're back to real life here. This is the way it is. We don't know where Jesus is. And along the way, we spend a lot of time talking about it. It said, and they reasoned. Didn't we hear a great testimony Thursday night, Steve? Your testimony doesn't get old, does it? How much talking did you do about it? Those couple of days? Steve gave his testimony, salvation testimony. It seems like we like to talk about a lot. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Why didn't it happen this way? It said they were reasoning and talking about it. Trying to figure it out. Trying to understand what's going on this weekend. What in the world? And yet, they had... What was so important? I mean, it says they were believers. It says they were two of the believers. They weren't the 12, but they were two that were pretty close. The 12 were still in Jerusalem because they came back to him. We know the rest of the story. What was so important in Emmaus that, boom, they're out of there. They're off. You know? Was it a business situation? Was it a family situation that we find so pressing? When the confusion comes upon us, we want to get busy. We want to do something. And we want to talk about it. And it seems to me, in my own personal life, and I'm telling you, it's a privilege to preach. It's a privilege to hear the preaching. It's a privilege to hear different preachers. It's a privilege to read this Word of God, because we are so prone to confusion. We just are. We just get these ideas about the way things should be. And we decide it's time to analyze and reason and figure it out. What was going on here? And we do a lot of talking. And all this busyness and all this talking doesn't really get us anywhere, does it? The point is, though, they were talking about Jesus.
Wonderful.
And isn't it interesting, our Lord? And we've heard testimonies. We know that a lot of guys that are away from God. I heard a great testimony, a guy away from God. He decided to, had a little bit too much to drink in the bar, but he's talking about Jesus. It comes around, doesn't it? Just talking about Jesus. We've heard stories like this a lot. We like to talk a lot. We like to get busy. But Jesus just has this way. Is this verse... Let me find it. Verse 15. And Jesus himself drew near. Doesn't that just kind of, woo, kind of encourage you? When you are making an honest, sincere attempt, even in this analyzation, even in this talking busyness, I'm getting away from it. I'm getting away. I don't know how to deal with it. I just want to be alone. I don't want to know what's going on. I just, you know, I cannot take it anymore. I'm going to take a walk down Emmaus Road. Jesus, if you kind of think about Him and you're honest and you're sincere, He has a way of drawing near. That's my first point. He's going to have a way of drawing near. I guarantee it. And we're usually not going to see it right away. We're not going to know really what's happening here. These guys could not recognize Jesus. Because of our hardness, because of our busyness, because of our analyzation, because of our talking, our ears aren't quite really tuned in. But Jesus is. If you seek Jesus, if you've diligently been seeking Jesus, He's going to show up somehow. He's going to show up. He's going to draw near. I had an interpersonal relationship recently that was bothering me. It's probably bothering some other people too. And I mean, my mind just got, what about this? What will happen if this? What will happen when? It's not right. It's not fair. Why'd it go this way? Why'd it go that way? Why shouldn't it be this? I mean, and I would do other things and boom, I'd get these, you know, And it was like God showed up and He said, "You're making it too complicated." Simple as that. It's like the light clicked up. It's not this complicated. It really is not this complicated. At all. And I just switched it off, switched gears, and went back to interacting in that relationship the way I know I should be. And it was like everything was fine. Everything was normal. These guys were making it a little too complicated. Haven't we ever done that? It's just, this gospel is simple. We believe God, we obey God, we follow God, and we rejoice, and we're thankful. It's simple. And it's exciting, because Jesus wants to draw nigh. And He does want to draw nigh. We were reading a book. Debbie and I love to read books, and we've gotten so, and I've told you this before, that we've tried to get different books and read out loud together. And I had another example of God showing up. We ran across this little book. Now, most of you have heard of a man named Loren Helm. If you've read his book, he had brothers. Most of you know that. Loren was the oldest, and God had a special call on his life. The second brother was Richard, then there was Warren, then there was Terrence, and then there was the two twins, were the youngest, Edwin and Edward. Okay? The second brother to Loren Helm's name is Warren. So if you hear me say Loren Warren, it's Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N. And he had a dream to fly airplanes. And he joined the Army, which there was no Air Force at the time, in 1942. And he became an airplane pilot. And he wrote a book about it. I had never heard of this. It was called Big War, Little People by Warren Helm. He wrote a book about it. And it's more about World War II and his flying and stuff. So it's more of a secular type book. But there's a story in this book, and I'm going to read it to you. Warren had joined the Air Force. He's in training. He's in Smyrna, Tennessee. He hasn't yet got his pilot's wings or anything. One day I heard from Mother that Lauren was in Knoxville, Tennessee, preaching revival. He had started branching out from the Methodist Church and was holding meetings in various places. I decided I would go visit him. He's like a 22-year-old. I really thought Knoxville was real close to Nashville, so it wouldn't take me long to get there. So I stood out on the highway and tried to hitchhike. But there was no one who would stop and pick me up. Okay, just as a reference, here's a side note. Nashville's in the center of Tennessee. This is 1942. There's no interstates. Knoxville is all the way east. I looked it up. According to the interstates, today, it's 175 miles. Back then, it would probably be closer to 180, 200. Okay? It was getting late in the afternoon, and I was trying to make up my mind as to what I should do. I saw a Greyhound bus coming my way, so I held out my hand. The driver never slowed down, but he held up two fingers. I took this to mean a second bus. Soon one came, and again the driver held up one finger. Okay, there must be another bus. Sure enough, a third bus came my way, and it stopped. Now, he knows his brother has a call in his life, his older brother. But he decided to go sing. Sure enough, the third bus came my way out on the highway, and it just stopped. I boarded and told the driver I'd like to go to Knoxville. And by this time, the bus was already moving again, and the driver told me the price of the ticket. I told him to stop, as I didn't have that much money. There was standing room only on the bus. When the driver started to slow down, a woman sitting in the seat behind the driver told him not to stop and let her collect an offering for me. So the driver took off, and soon the lady returned to the front of the bus and put all the money in the driver's hand. He may have been in his military uniform, and they took some pity on him. Now, the distance to Knoxville was much farther than I thought, and time began to pass until it was long after dark. I've asked several people that are familiar with Lauren Helm, and most of them, almost all of them, had never heard this story. The wonderful lady asked me why I was going to Knoxville, and I told her that my brother, Lauren, was there. She asked if my brother would be there to meet me at the bus station, and I assured her that Lauren would be there. She then asked if Lauren knew I was coming. I had to admit, Lauren did not know I was coming. She asked if I knew how to find my brother. Again, the answer was no. But I assured her, he'll be there. I'm not sure that the lady believed me. About 2:30 a.m., the bus pulled into the station. The place was deserted. So I walked to the front street, out of the bus station, stepped onto the walk, and Lauren Helm and his friend, Homer Pumphreys, was walking toward me. Earlier that evening, after the revival meeting was over, Lauren and Homer had retired to the room. It was getting late, and both were very tired, and so they went to bed. About 2 a.m., Lauren woke up, called for Homer to get dressed. Now, Homer had learned a long time ago not to question Lauren, but he did want to know what they were going to do. Lauren told him they had to hurry, get dressed, and get down to the bus station to pick up Warren. Homer asked Lauren if he had had any previous arrangements. And Lauren said to him, no, but the Holy Spirit tells me to go to the bus station now. After returning to the hotel, Warren, Lauren, and Homer, we went to bed, and early the next morning, we headed for Smyrna. There was morning formations. I was free to escort my brother about the base, and this episode was on October 4th, 1942. I have no explanation for my sudden desire to go to Knoxville, and I cannot remember how long Lauren and Home were with me. But one thing I do know is I was going to see my brother, and he was there to meet me. Has anybody heard that story? You were personal friends with this man for many years and never heard that story. I think I heard it from Homer Pumphreys once time in Indianapolis. That story stirs me. Here was a man who said he was away from home. He's 22 years old, lonely. He says, I'm going to go see my brother. And God shows up. I thought that story would help you. That tells us that God can speak, that He can show up, and He can do so through other people.
Amen. Amen.
Warren Helm simply said, I'm going to see my brother. It did not matter how far it was. It did not matter that he had not notified. It did not matter that he had no money. And it did not matter what others thought. When we're trying to honestly be where we think we should be, and honestly be where the man of God is, God will take care of it. Don't make it too complicated. This young man did not make it too complicated. Now, one of the other things that I realized in today's world, for these two men, they had no New Testament. They did not have yet the falling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have what all of you have. Jesus needed to be there in person for these men. For us today, it may be your morning devotion. It may be that herald on His coming laying on that counter back there. You may pick up that herald of His coming and set it down and never pick it up for 2 or 3 days, and you pick it up. In fact, there's an article by A.W. Tozer in there right now about giving all. And it may hit you in a way it's never hit you before. It may be a sermon, a scripture. It may be a family member. It may be the boss that asked you to do something that you really didn't want to do. And you have to die out that draws you closer to Jesus. It may be Jesus working in ways that we cannot see. Do you get it? They couldn't see. But God has ways to get to us. Now they went along. I mean, this story, as you would say, Pastor Nicky, is almost humorous, isn't it? They get to where they're going. I mean, this is a total stranger. Just walks up beside them. And in their society, to talk about the Torah, the Scriptures, the Psalms, Moses, was pretty commonplace. They knew it. And so they probably thought, oh, this is great. This guy's been reading the Scripture too. You know, and he's expounding all the Scripture, it says, from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. All about him. All the way through. You know, Debbie and I have that poem we read, Jesus Is. And we go, Jesus is Genesis, Exodus, All the way through Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Jesus is, Jesus is. And He is. It's that simple. For Him and by Him was all things created. It's about Him. So it says later, and we know the story. Isn't it interesting we know the story? That's why sometimes we need drama. You know, we need reenactment because you don't know quite the twist of the story. And it kind of helps you. We need a little drama sometimes. Hint, hint. But God helps us. It says later in the story, they were strangely warmed. Of course they would be. We don't know what's going to touch us. All of a sudden they're like, whoa, 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 this is... And so it says in verse 29, another great verse, they constrained Him. One translation says they begged Him. It says, well, stay with us, stay with us. They begged Him. I recently heard a sermon about this by Alistair Begg, and he said something that really struck me. He said, invitation brings recognition. They invited Him, they begged Him, and then what happened? He comes in, they sit down, and verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened. When we began to accept, ever how it comes, and I'm telling you, it comes in a lot of various ways, the instruction that God has for us. It may be in your home. It may be a devotion. It may not be anything that looks real spiritual. It may simply be an order at work or a needy neighbor that you need to help. It may be a variety of things that God will work through. But when you begin to do what you should be doing, when you ask that, whatever it is, when you follow that instruction, when you beg Jesus to stay, all of a sudden things are going to open up. You're going to... Their eyes were opened, and they could see that indeed it was Jesus alive physically, the real one, the resurrection, the Messiah, the one they had hoped for. The other point though, back up in verse 30. And as they sat down to eat, He took bread and blessed it. This was their traveling companion. They didn't even know Him. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it. When our eyes are opened, and we recognize Jesus, the next thing happens is our understanding begins to kick in. And Jesus, later, He kind of upbraided them. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And then later He says it again when He's with all of them. When the two go back, Jesus shows up again and He says in verse 44, if you want to look it up, verse 44 of chapter 24, and He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. He said, look, I've told you these things, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law and in Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. And it amazes me today that we as Christians and we as the church need our understanding opened. We've got to have our eyes opened. And then we have to have our understanding opened. Because it's in the breaking Do you think what the Master went through, the suffering and the breaking, which fed the whole world, which was the bread of life, which will give us eternal life, is going to be any different for us? We're also going to have to be broken. That's what he said. I've said it. I've done it. Now you need to understand it and do it. Will we not be asked and told that the only way we gain life is by losing it? Are we not also going to remember that he said, take up your cross and follow me and die to this old man so that a new man can be created? Because God's making a new man within us. So let us remember today that Jesus will draw near. He will open our eyes if we allow him. And he will open our understanding if we begin to perceive that it's in losing all, giving all, and following him completely that we have the full satisfaction. God bless the reading of the word.